Welcome all you Plus Two Comedy Modifiers for another episode of the Plus Two Comedy Podcast. I'm your host as always, TV's Noah Houlihan. And before we get to our fantastic episode with the creator of Cheese Quest, The Quest for Cheese, Phil Schad, I have to tell you about some upcoming shows. I've said these many times, so we're going rapid fire. South Jersey Geek Fest, Cosplay Pro Wrestling, October 28th. For more information, go to sjgeekfest.com. GameCon, Atlantic City, Tropicana Casino and Hotel. I'm not sure what we're doing. October 28th and the 29th. More information, go to GameCon.com. And the Geeky Kink event, November 10th through the 12th, Piscataway, New Jersey. We're doing a bunch of stuff. It's fantastic. Go to thegeekykinkevent.com for more information. Also, we have a Kickstarter here for our friend Phil Schad, who is the creator of Cheese Quest, The Quest for Cheese. When this comes out, there's only going to be like a few days left, so please consider donating to the Cheese Quest Kickstarter. You can find the links in the description below. And now, without any further ado, take it away, Kirby Crackle. We're on the road, we're going home to the place where wild nerds roam with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like Mecca for Geese in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly. We're on the road, we're going home.
Who's ready for a podcast? Oh, the eruption of applause gives me a reason to get up in the morning. Who's here to do other things currently being annoyed by a podcast? There's less people here this week.
It's
This is the Plus Two Comedy Podcast coming to you live from Gamer's Vault. That's 175 Route 70 in Medford, New Jersey. I'm your host, as always, TV's Noah Houlihan, joined, as always, by the Metachlorians to my Star Wars, Mr. Will Liam. How you doing, Will?
Not great.
No?
No, I got like my throat's sore.
Oh.
I got like a nasal drip thing, and then you said a mean thing about me.
Yeah, so we're going to just slide these a little bit away. Why are you in the middle? Our guest this week is...
Oh, because I'm sick.
Yes, right. And also, you know. Our guest this
and
week...
Other
you don't get to do it. I don't know you. You were so nice until just then.
We're on the air now. Now you got to get those shots in. Our guest this week is the creator of the new board game, which is currently live on Kickstarter, Cheese Quest, The Quest for Cheese. Please give it up for Phil Schad.
Hi.
I really thought your last name would be Cheeseman.
Maybe I should change it.
Yeah.
Just something to think about.
Well, if you get kickstarted,
Yeah, make that a goal.
I don't want to do it too early.
Stretch goal.
If you get like
goal, I'll change
10
name.
Grand, Phil Cheeseman.
Well, he needs 12, right?
Yeah, I need 12. $10,000
more.
Okay. Yeah, so if you get to 22.
Phil Cheeseman.
So we like to start with an icebreaker question. This one was sent to us by Modifier Mooch, and he wants to know why your game chose to perpetuate the war between cats and mice, and if there will ever be peace.
I don't think there will be peace, and I think it's a war worth fighting.
Oh, do you?
What side do you support?
A little bit of both. I mean, whichever side wins.
So you're war profiteering is what this
absolutely.
Is, yeah, and you just want to keep making money off of suffering.
I mean, sure.
Okay, I mean, yeah. If you're going to own it, then by all means.
Yeah, I mean, I guess as long as you're being honest, that's what's important.
But your game does look very interesting.
Yeah, I haven't seen, can I see your box?
Yeah, we have cameras.
Let's judge it on the cover.
Judge it by the art.
Okay.
Ooh, that's good art, though.
That is some good art.
It is good art.
Yeah. I don't know which one, that one probably.
And I will say that there's some sort of like class warfare in that the cats are very well dressed, and then the mice look like the biker mice from Mars.
They're like little thievy mice.
Well, they don't have pants, and the cat, it's weird because the mice don't have pants, but they're animals, so you're like, oh, well, that's fine. But the cat is wearing pants.
Right.
So it's tough for the mice.
Are the mice pantsless in this universe?
They are pantsless
far. So okay.
Far. Is it for mobility?
Yeah, I think so they can run better.
Yeah. They're clearly fleeing this cat.
They are.
So how does this game work?
It is a... Yeah, obviously you got the theme, mice and cats.
I got that.
The mice are going out to get cheese. Their goal is to get one piece of cheese and bring it back, go out, get another piece of cheese and bring it back, a total of two cheese. And the first player to do that wins.
Okay.
And you are basically sabotaging each other, trying to you have three actions per turn, so you can progress. You can try to progress your mice or try to hinder other people's mice. So
okay.
It's mice versus mice.
Gotcha. You've turned them against each other.
Exactly. Well, there's a limited supply of cheese, so.
Oh, okay. All right.
This
good
seems like a fabricated limit, though.
Yeah. Well, it's delicious.
Like you're instilling this limit to keep this conflict going.
Right.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, to profit.
All right.
He controls the cheese controls the world.
Exactly. There's cards you use to basically move cats around. The cats are controlled by the players. They drop traps and do things with your mice, like go through walls, like squeeze through a hole in a wall.
I thought it was just full on teleportation.
Intangible mice just running around rampant. Yeah, so it's pretty much just a quick 30 to 45 minute game. Mm-hmm. A little bit of take that, a little bit of tactics and strategy, but it's pretty fun.
And I see the board on the side here, which is a very unique honeycomb style board, looks here. Is it customizable, or am I reading
that
wrong?
Yeah, or is that the board?
Yeah, so the game comes with a bunch of flowered hexagon tiles, which
are nice.
Just this one section here. And they basically, you have a nest tile in the center, and every time you play the game, you pick, there are 12 tiles total that are double-sided, so 24 separate maps.
Okay.
And so you take six of those tiles, attach it to the nest tile, and each tile has cheese markers on it and cat markers where the cats and cheese start and where traps would be. And you set it up, and so every time you play it, it should be pretty much unique
different
to the last time.
Okay. And I guess since, like, they could be rotated, like, you're probably never going to play the same game twice.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be hard to play the same game twice.
Oh, wow. That's pretty smart. I dig it. It kind of reminds me of Zombies. You ever played Zombies?
Zombies. I don't know. I've played lots of zombie games.
It's another build-your-own-board type game, and then there's zombies on there that are also controlled by players to kind of mess with each other. So this seems a little bit less violent. Not a whole lot less violent.
Seems less cooperative, too, because there's not much incentive to help or any incentive.
Yeah, this isn't coopetition. This is just straight up competition.
You're pretty much on your own here.
Cool.
I like it. Yeah. I dig it.
I dig it. Who did the art for this? Because the art is fantastic.
The art is fantastic. It's a guy named Peter Gandia. He is a fantastic artist. He does a lot of concept art, a lot of consulting, and a lot of freelance work for a bunch of different places. He's on the Kickstarter page, I have a link to his portfolio and a lot of the work that he's done. He's really talented. A lot of times I'll give him suggestions. He'd be like, no, we're doing it this way instead, because he's just awesome at what he does.
Cool. Very cool. So what made you want to make a board game?
Making games the board games, like, have always been something I've loved since I was a kid. Games in general, video games, board games, all that. And I've always been sort of making games. I do, like, I'm a DM for, like, Pathfinder and Dungeons & Dragons. I've always played games and told stories and made these things for people to do and achieve. So I've done that my entire life. And then some friends of mine, we get together every Thursday and we geek out and play different games. And so one time we're like, let's make our own games. And so I made a version of this. It was about 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago. And it was... not great. It was just like, it made it in a day and was like, okay, here we go. And we played it, and it was fun, but it wasn't balanced. It wasn't thought through. It wasn't play tested, obviously. So
you guys were doing.
Right. So we ended up just, I ended up just kind of taking it and running it. It took all their feedback and was like, let's actually, make it better and play it again next week or in a couple weeks. And we just kind of built and built and built. And eventually it was like, you know what, this game is actually really fun. We're having a great time with it. I've had a lot of different people who I know who played it. So we ended up just kind of being, I ended up being like, okay, this is what we're doing. We're making a game.
Oh, wow. So this is your first game ever?
This is my first game that I'm trying to publish,
Wow, that's awesome. And, I mean, you had 4 years to perfect it, so.
Right. I mean, it's been play tested by so many people, so it's pretty refined now.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
And it looks great, and I know it's on Kickstarter. You're asking for $12,000, I believe.
Right.
Yes, right. And how close are you at this time?
I think we're around 62%.
62%.
With about a week left, a little under a week left.
Well, if I've learned anything from Kickstarters, you get a a lot of money in the beginning and a lot of money at the end, and then there's that middle part where nobody really cares.
Yeah, the Kickstarter lull, it's been called many times.
Exactly. So be sure to check that out. It's called Cheese Quest, The Quest for Cheese. It's live right now on Kickstarter for those watching on Twitch or on YouTube. And you also have a webcomic.
Yes, yes. I have a webcomic that I do. It's called P&J Comic. I am Phil. My wife is Jess, so Phil and Jess. P&J Comic, and it is online. You can check us on Facebook. We have posts about it and a page for it. And then, but it's about basically me and my wife's random conversations and life being married.
Gotcha. So just a nice little slice of life.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you draw that yourself?
Yeah. Yep. Very simple drawings. Not quite as elegant as Cheese
Quest. Yeah,
it's
not quite Cheese Quest, The Quest for Cheese.
But yeah, I'm an illustrator. I do that on the side, so like, but very cartoonish, not very realistic. So I do. One time I was transitioning from one job to another, and I had a month off. So I'm like, what am I going to do? And my wife's like, well, you've always wanted to do a webcomic. Why don't you just do a webcomic? So I did. So now I do that.
How long has that been running?
It's on and off right now. It's coming back this winter.
Yeah,
is the plan.
I took
some time off for Cheese Quest.
Yeah, I noticed that your latest
comic.
There's
definitely another lull in the in the P&J comic, but that's going to be coming back this winter. But it's been on since before we were married. So
oh wow.
So it's 6 years, and on. Yeah.
Wow. Because we had a web comic and we didn't make it a year. So. They're hard. They're really hard to do.
I mean, they're hard to maintain. When I first started doing it, I was like two a week. I was like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and I did that for like
impressive.
A good period of time. And then, you know, things happen and you like don't have the time to do it. Or you're like, I work in New York City. So like the commute was killing me. And so like it's a lot of like running around. So I was like, I'll just rest today. And the next day I'm like, I'll rest today too.
Yeah, resting's great.
6 months later, you're like, maybe I should do a comic.
I am rested.
Yeah.
You're just staring at your wife like, can you say something funny?
Yeah. You need,
for a while. Inspire me!
For a while, I was like, you're not funny at all. And she's like, no, we're not. We're not funny. We have to wait till we do something funny. So.
So I'm going to have to knock some stuff over and stuff like that.
I'll put some banana peels on the ground.
Oh, that's
funny. Classic. It's classic every time. When me and Will walk around looking for banana peels, it was like, if I'm going to step on it and slip, it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it every
time.
It's
nothing funnier to me. Yeah, banana peel.
I mean, it is the classic comic joke.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not even that slippery in real life.
Yeah.
I don't know where this came
from.
They
should make slippery banana peels.
Yeah, what science
We have genetic engineering. I'm sure we could maybe make some kind of gooey slug-like banana that when you step on it.
Yeah, or even just the peel that's slippery. So marketing-wise, you could just squeeze it. It fires a banana so you can eat it like a cartoon gorilla.
There you go. All right.
And then the peel is also hyper slippery.
Right. So it's like, it's like nurturing and offensive.
That's a good idea. All right. If the Cheese Quest Kickstarter gets up to, let's say, 30 grand, we will genetically engineer a brand new type of banana.
Done.
For better comic purposes.
I don't know anything about genetic engineering, so I'm just going to keep finding slippery bananas and just planting them. They don't grow here, so I'm just going to have a bunch of...
We'll have all that money, so I'm sure we can figure it out.
It's his Kickstarter. You know that, right?
I'm weaseling
in.
We don't
get the 10 grand extra from Cheeseman.
From Phil Cheeseman.
Phil Cheeseman.
You will legally have to change his name by then.
Don't tell my wife.
It'll make a great webcomic.
I've changed my name. You have to change yours, too.
Marriage.
Marriage.
And I wanted to bring this up because I was stalking you online so I could look for things to talk about. And I found your YouTube, and it has Cheese Quest, and it has CrossFit.
Yes. That's pretty much my life right now.
I don't think anyone casually does CrossFit. There's no one that's ever like, I do it like, I don't know, once a month. It's like, no, it's either my life or a thing I quit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's usually, I mean, most people I know who do it are in there really consistently. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you need help?
Not yet, but I'll let you know.
Yeah.
We'll have some kind of secret sign.
Because now your inability to stop exercising makes sense because you're in the CrossFit cult.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, it's definitely.
We had a discussion before the show. Phil's falling apart physically.
Yeah.
Slowly. But I mean, it's over a very long period of time. So it's kind of, it's okay.
Basically, the story was that he was curling with one hand and his arm just detached at the shoulder. Mm. And he's like, left side, Yeah, just started working out that one.
That's how it works. When one side stops, you just use the other side.
Yeah. It turns out Phil is just a poorly made action figure. Yeah. The one where the limbs just kind of pop off.
Yeah, you got like a G.I. Joe rubber band at the waist. That's like a ticking time bomb.
That rubber band just comes off, and then you try to like fix it with your with your bracer rubber band.
Joe's gone.
Yeah.
No. That person is in half.
Yeah.
Casualty of war. Happens. Because they were fun if you stretched them and then spun them.
Yeah.
They would do like karate
ninja
kicks. Yeah. Or the other one, if you ran string. I'm just talking about how I used to play with toys.
That was fun.
You ran string and you had one of the G.I. Joes with a wrist joint. It was like a zip line.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but
that would eventually saw your G.I. Joe's hand off.
Right.
Because that's how friction works.
Yeah.
It's like, you got shot down. Oh. Tragic. But how long have you been doing CrossFit?
Probably about 5 years, six years. Yeah, about 3 or 4 times a week, sometimes 5 times a week.
All right, so I think
sometimes 8 times a week.
Yeah, I think you're too deep in the cult to possibly know that you might need help.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't need help. I don't understand. Yeah,
there it is. There it is.
Because there's a video of who I assume was you.
Mm-hmm.
You were. It wasn't the best shot, but you're just lifting a huge weight, putting it over your head, and then dropping it.
Right.
And the lunk alarm should go off, according to Planet Fitness.
Right,
you're not
right.
supposed to drop your weight.
Right.
It looks so dangerous. I can't believe, everyone's not just hurt from it.
It's not so dangerous as long as you know what you're doing. Obviously, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, but do you know what you're doing?
It's not too bad. I mean, it's fine. It's fine.
All right. If you say you're fine, I won't argue it. But cheese, I don't think is something that the CrossFit diet promotes.
Oh, sure.
Just got to be the right cheese.
Yeah, it's got to be a little piece of cheese a day. Just got to ration it.
Got to ration it out.
Yeah, a little bit of cheese here.
What about
and there.
A cottage cheese?
Cottage cheese is good, high in protein.
Mm-hmm. You get one of those 2%.
Exactly.
I'm learning way more than I thought I would on this podcast. That's pretty good. But we also like to geek out on this podcast. We do that with a segment called What You Watching, What You Reading, What You Playing. It's where we talk about what we're watching, what we're reading, what we're playing. Phil, you're new to the group. What have you been watching?
Watching. I watch lots of things. Most recent watch, I've been watching the Inhumans show from Marvel's Inhumans.
No spoilies.
I won't talk about it.
We'll talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, talk a little bit about it. Give us
a whole
taste.
Segment.
I mean, I won't talk about it mostly because I'm not really a fan of it.
Oh. No, is it not great?
It's not doing as well as I want it to. It's not as good as I want it to be.
I've heard bad things.
Yeah.
It's made me sad.
A lot of the story doesn't make much sense. It's just...
It's a spinoff from S.H.I.E.L.D., right? This is the ABC one and not the Fox one, right?
Right.
But it's
not really a spinoff, though.
Now I'm confused.
At least not that I've seen so far.
Same universe.
So this is a Marvel thing?
Yeah, Marvel's and Humans.
See, I totally thought it was a Sony. Not Sony.
You're thinking of Gifted.
Yep.
Gifted. Gifted is still the Marvel universe, but that's going to be the one.
Yeah, that's
Fox.
The Fox.
Yeah,
but that's Marvel. So none of these are in the Bryan Singer X-Men universe?
Gifted is X-Men.
Yeah. But it's also Marvel? Because those are not the same.
No. All right.
Right. So there's the Marvel.
Let's break this down. It's not in the MCU.
Right.
Okay.
But I believe Inhumans is.
I believe it is as well, although they haven't done any kind of crossover.
Because so
lead
far
me.
All of Marvel's works are all part of the same continuity.
Right.
Yes. That research department says yes.
Okay. And so Gift is just its own thing?
Yes. Like Legion. And
okay, so but it's not.
Yeah,
they should have had it in the Legion universe. They could have built.
I don't know. I don't watch either of them. So
Legion's so good.
Legion is in the X-Men universe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Officially.
Yeah. I mean,
well, that doesn't make any sense.
He's a mutant, and they talk about mutants and stuff.
Yeah,
but I don't
know. It could be like
right. It could
the
be
WB's.
Like a, it could be like an
TV
alternate.
Universe is different from their movie.
Right.
Universe.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You're probably right.
Well,
The way, like, the Flash TV show is not part of
saying.
The movie. Yeah,
right.
Which, as fun as it is to know that Daredevil, is in the MCU, I actually think the WB did a better choice with having separate continuities.
Okay.
Because now Daredevil's never going to be in a movie because no one wants to pay that guy $30 million.
That is true.
He deserves it.
We're going to talk about Inhumans now.
Okay.
We're upsetting the research department. We're here to talk about Inhumans.
Are we?
Yes. He didn't even like it.
That's what I was talking about.
Stop stealing our guests'
segments. Do you think
your
X-Gene power is to take off your body parts?
And maybe.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe you're the detachable dude.
Detachable dude. Oh, I like it. It's got alliteration.
There's this one comic that was out recently about this one character whose mutant power is to explode, but he doesn't. Doesn't unexplode. He can use it once and then it's done.
So,
I have that power. I think.
Yeah. Nitro does that, but he gets to come back.
But Nitro comes back all the time.
Phil, can you put your microphone closer to your mouth?
I can.
There we go.
Perfect. Oh, nice. Now it's an echo.
I'm fixing it. But you're not digging in humans?
I haven't. I really want to like it, but so far I have not.
How many episodes in are you?
One and a half.
Okay.
There's only two episodes out right now that I know. Okay. There might be a third episode out now, but.
Because I don't think I liked the first episode of Legion either, but then it became
one
of my favorite shows.
Legion I watched halfway through, and then I just kind of lost track of it.
Yeah.
I need to pick it back up.
I watched it on Hulu when it was all out.
I was watching it as it was coming out, so I kind of, you lose track of things.
Yeah. I don't think I can watch TV that way anymore. Yeah.
It's really difficult. It's really difficult.
That's why I gave up on Gotham. Mm. I was like super into it. I was like, nah, this once a week stuff has to end.
I just block out like 6 hours on a Saturday, and that's how I watch a TV show now.
Yeah.
That's a
good
way to
go. I watch something as soon as it's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, now I can enjoy all of this.
That's why I like when Netflix does this, because they just release all the episodes at once. And it's like, this is perfect.
I can
all the
space
episodes.
Out BoJack as much as I can try.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it's like a race between you and your friends to see if you can watch Luke Cage first.
Yeah. Because we were at a convention when Daredevil dropped.
Oh, nice.
And because it dropped on a Friday. And it was like, all right, everyone says that Daredevil's pretty good. And then by Saturday, it was like, all right, everyone's done Daredevil.
Yeah.
And then by Sunday, it's like, everyone's done talking about Daredevil.
Yeah.
We have missed it. We cannot enjoy it anymore.
Right.
Oh, no. I should have cleared my weekend. But why do you hate Inhumans? I'm gonna get to this answer. I promise.
Well, I don't hate it so much. I just want it to be better. Like, there's a lot of characters in that I just feel like they're the villain of the show is Maximus, and
Ramsey Snow.
He's Black Bolt's brother, and he's the villain in the comics. And he's like, he doesn't have any real powers. He's just kind of very manipulative and kind of crazy and kind of evil. But in the show, when you're watching it, if you kind of look at it from his perspective, he's sort of right. Like, because the view that they're giving of the world is that, like, there's this caste system and there's all these people working in the mines just because they don't have powers. It's basically like the reverse of like the X-Men problem, where like they hate people because they have powers. In this world, they hate people because they don't, apparently. They're like, your power is no good. You work in the mines. And this guy's like,
they're
sticking
crappy. Like crappy Morlocks down there.
Yeah, exactly. So like, you go and work in the mines, and that's your life now. And so it's like, oh well, this guy's kind of right. This is wrong, and they shouldn't. So the only thing he really does that makes him seem villainous is he eventually like does something that is sort of evil. But it's like, well, it definitely is evil. But it's like, okay, that's the only thing he's done that I disagree with. Everything else he's doing seems kind of right to me. Like, this is an evil dictatorship, and these people who are the heroes are actually like. Shouldn't be in power. That's from the first episode and a half. That's what I've gotten so far.
All right, the evil guy in this. Does he do CrossFit?
I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
Okay.
Research department. I don't think so.
Doubtful.
Svelte. He's svelte. I don't know if that's a.
I thought maybe that you were like, I agree with this guy. I like that he's always lifting and doing the kettlebells. Yeah, this guy's great.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with everything he does.
Yeah, so that's my only problem with Inhumans is that I don't feel like the story is quite where it needs to be.
This is sounding very Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, he does not do CrossFit.
There you go.
Thank you, research department.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. took a while to ramp up for me. Like, I'm enjoying Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Thor came out, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. picked up.
Yeah, I heard that from a lot of
when they started
people,
doing like the crossover stuff, it got really interesting.
Yeah,
there's still some problems with it, but it's fun to watch.
I got to the middle of season 2 or 3, and I was just like, I'm not digging. As soon as they split up Fitz and Simmons, I was like, I don't think I want to care about this anymore, and I just gave up on it. Yeah. But apparently it's very important, because apparently ABC's like, well, no one's watching this. Be gone. We cancel you. And then Walt Disney showed up and was like, no, there's important stuff. This must continue.
This has to go on.
But no one's watching it. It's like, no, we have a masterpiece we're working on. It's like, all right, so I guess we're going to show more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. So, William, what have you been watching?
I watched the movie It. The new one.
The new one.
Not the old one.
Okay.
It was really, really good.
Yeah?
It wasn't terrifying. There was definitely moments of like where I was tense.
Yeah.
But I'm not frightened of creature work. I find it delights me, even if it's horrifying creature work, because it's a lot of practical effects.
Okay.
So even when he was like a horrible tooth clown, I was like, yay, he's real.
You were just so happy not to see CGI.
Yeah. Or if it was, it looked amazing. It looked like practical effects. I've been fooled before.
Cool. Did you read the book?
I have not read the book.
Did you see the old miniseries?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, we talked about that last week.
I read the book a couple times when I was younger.
The wiki of the book.
Nice.
That's just because I have a lot of friends that like Dark Towers, and they're like, you gotta read it. And my experience with Stephen King is that he writes half a really good book, and then something happens, man.
He's not very. I mean, in my opinion, he's not very good at endings.
No,
like I've read a lot of his books.
I think it goes. A lot of people say endings. I think it goes. That stretches all the way to the middle point of any book I've read.
It gets to that climax and just goes and just kind of crashes. Yeah.
So
maybe that's why he writes so much.
Yeah.
It's just like, I know if I have to end this, it's going to get bad. Let's add more words. More words.
Yeah, that's why The Stand is 8 million pages. Yeah.
I wrote 3 more chapters. Throw them in.
And then they have like the unabridged version, which is
that's what I listened to it. It's 48 hours long.
I read it. Days. I read it with my eyes. Like, it was awful. It was very tiring. Very tiring.
But that's what got you into CrossFit. It's just carrying that giant book around.
Exactly. It's just that's where I came from. Just carried all of Stephen King's books on my shoulders. It's like, you know what? I could make this into something. And
But I don't know if Dark Towers, because it's a very long series, I think, of like interconnected books, right? I don't know. Yeah. And so I don't know if each book will be bad halfway through or if it just gets bad 3.5 books in.
Right.
And so I don't want to commit 3.5 books to be disappointed for 3.5 more.
Just watch the Matthew McConaughey movie.
I dig that it's a whole connected universe, and I know that it shows up other places and stuff. But anyway, it was a great movie.
I got to ask, do they do like the movie, the miniseries things where they're flashing back and forth between the kids to the older people?
No,
or the adults are not
entire
in
children,
okay,
and then the sequel will be entirely adults.
Okay. Right. Cool. Sequel's going to have flashbacks.
The sequel will have children.
The children
got that Stranger Things kid, and he's blowing up right now.
Yes, he is.
He's got to be everywhere.
He's huge.
And also, that movie does not quit. Like, you know how horror movies take a while to build?
Yeah.
And then there's like a lull in that clown shows up maybe 5 minutes in, and then he won't go away. Yeah. You feel the strife of these children. That you're like, man, there's not a scene without this clown.
He's everywhere.
Get out of my life.
I super want to see
it. It's good.
It's good. I felt when I saw it, I really enjoyed it. And I like, from being a fan of the book when I was a kid, I liked it. There was a few things I wasn't a huge fan of. I won't do any spoilers, but like, there were a few things about it that bugged me because it was a little less accurate to the book. Mm-hmm. Like there's two.
Than the miniseries was?
The miniseries was. I mean, if you read the book and watched the miniseries, you're like, really?
It's pretty painful.
But then there are people who only saw the miniseries and they thought it was great. And I'm like, I don't understand you.
Who are these people?
Are you a human?
I'm friends with them.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were like, they're going to remake it. It's a masterpiece. Like, no, it's bad.
I had one friend who like saw the movie. It was like, I hope in the adult scene they have the head in the refrigerator. I'm like, why? Because it's just bad. But,
yes.
but I enjoyed it. There was just a few things about it that I thought were not quite where I wanted them.
I never connected more with a character. This is not really a spoiler. That when Beverly wasn't afraid of him anymore.
Right.
Because he danced. That was the least frightening thing I had ever seen. And I was like, what human isn't like, oh, you're not scary at all.
Wait, the clown dances or he dances?
The clown.
Oh,
Pennywise dances in front of Beverly, and then she's like, I'm not scared of you. I'm like, Yeah. Because I saw the GIF of him dancing.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's ridiculously terrible. I feel like it was something he was workshopping. He's like, I bet it'd be really scary if I danced real silly and then turned into a mom. Didn't work.
No.
Didn't work. Should have tested it first.
Whoops.
Tried it out on some hobo children.
So I've been obsessed with this show on YouTube. Excuse me. Called Movie Fights.
Oh, yeah, you
and
told
they get a panel of three, and they just present them with a question, and then they argue. And it's super good.
What kind of question?
I think we'll play a few rounds. Why not?
Best religion.
No, it's movie fights.
You just play like Kingdom of Heaven or something.
What if you could blink one movie out of existence, what would you choose?
I have to?
You have to blink it out of existence.
I wouldn't even want to get rid of bad movies.
See, yeah, this was the problem that people had with this question. I'll let you guys think. Do you have an answer? I don't have a good answer either, because the best answer was given in this.
What did they say?
The one guy says Jaws 2.
Incorrect.
Because Jaws 2 started that if you have a good movie, you make a sequel, and then you make another, and you make another, and you make another. If you blinked Jaws 2 out of existence, you wouldn't get Jaws 3, Jaws 4, and you wouldn't have like a bunch of
sequels.
He's
messing with the timeline now.
Yeah, I mean, it's blinked out of existence, so if the web goes out.
So he's saying, if you get rid of Jaws 2, then he's retroactively getting rid of all Jaws's?
All bad sequels. Because you're taking away the precedent of, like, if you have a successful movie, make a sequel, and you'll make $1 billion, and you don't have to try.
I don't know. The Jaws started that, but I don't have the research to argue.
He had this amazing argument, and then Elijah Wood said the remake to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah,
because there was no magic in it. It took all the. It made the original movie worse.
Right.
I also don't think it affects anything. Like, no one cares. I've never heard a person talk about. One person has ever talked about that movie.
And then Kevin Smith said the Hitler propaganda film.
I was just thinking about that.
And then he was like, I basically am saying this because I really want to watch you guys try to argue against Hitler with your Jaws movies. Very entertaining to watch. Another good one was, and I have a good answer for this one, so we'll play this one.
Noah just wanted to lock and load some good answers.
Some good stuff. Yeah, this is a good discussion. I just want to steal this show. It's a good show. If you could add Pennywise to any franchise.
Oh, he'd be great. Now you're talking my language.
Yeah.
You're crossing characters over into other universes.
It was so successful, Pennywise will come up again. If you add him to any movie franchise, what would it be?
Ooh. So many.
Can you do Charlie in the Chocolate Factory?
That would be good. I'd like to see Charlie in the Murder Factory would be awesome.
I mean, it's definitely a Pennywise's alley because it's little kids. And
in fact, I'd like to see Charlie in the Chocolate Factory as a prequel. Like, Willy Wonka is a pan-dimensional shape-shifting creature. He's chosen to make children happy. But then this kid up and tries to steal his everlasting gobstopper from him, ruins his vision of purity in children, and slowly now he just wants to feed off of their fear instead of their happiness.
And the chocolate factory was in Derry, the town of Derry.
Yeah. And then it burns down at the end. They build on top of it.
That's why they called it Derry, because of milk chocolate.
Yeah, the milk chocolate.
This is a great movie.
Done. We're making it.
The
next Kickstarter.
Yeah. All right, cool.
If we get 2 million, Phil changes his name. Still Cheeseman.
To Phil Pennywise Cheeseman.
There you go.
The ones that they argued in the show, which I think were all pretty bad choices, were Suicide Squad.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, which Dementors, redundant.
Yeah,
I bet, because they have magic.
Yeah.
I bet you just trap them in like a box.
And what one was Pokemon, and it's just like, let's make Pennywise a Pokemon. I was like, dumb, don't do that.
Yeah, get him in a ball.
Yeah. My answer is Pleasantville.
That's a good one.
Pleasantville.
Like that.
Because we already have him like in films and like in those like photos and stuff like that. He goes to Pleasantville and, you know, is trying to mess people up. And since innocence is something that he preys on, now that the characters that like turned into color are like warriors. Plus, I think it'd be awesome to be black and white plus a red balloon in blood.
Yep. I like that visual.
That would be cool.
You should make a movie called Sin City.
Yeah. All right. I'm on it. But yeah, Movie Fights by Screen Junkies. Awesome show. I highly recommend it. I'm going to throw it back down to Phil and ask him what he's reading.
I'm currently reading the Wheel of Time series.
Ooh. Wait, how far in
I'm
are
on
you?
Book I'm halfway through book four.
You only have 800 more.
I know. It's only like 12 billion books. but
he finished all of Stephen King. Yeah. He's like, I need something heavy. Yeah.
So two of my friends separately recommended this to me without knowing one had recommended it and the other one had recommended it. So I was like, okay, well, now I have to. So I started reading it. I'm doing the audiobooks because I commute very regularly.
Gotcha.
So the train is a great place to do audiobooks. So I'm doing that. I'm halfway through book four. It's really good.
Yeah, I tried it when I was a kid, and I gave up after two books. But I don't think I was ready to just read that much.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot. It's a lot to read. And he's very, very descriptive. So there's a lot of like zoning out that happens. And you're like, wait, did I miss anything important?
Yeah.
And sometimes when they transitions from like description to like a total chaotic war, and you're just like, oh, wait, we're in the middle of a war now. I need to like start paying attention.
He stood with his wavy blonde hair and blood-soaked shoes.
Yeah. And they're like, Trollocs showing up everywhere. Kill them. And you're like, wait, what?
What happened? I got to flip back. Yeah. Now we're back to blonde hair.
But it's really good so far. I'm really enjoying it. Looking forward to seeing where it goes. Some of the characters develop really, really well.
Some stay
very much the same, but mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see it.
Well, the Times have been on the to-do list for a while, but there's a lot of them.
It's 14 books, I think.
Yeah, that's
and
it's
I think big. It's and they're all thick books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't have the time. William, you been reading anything good?
I started listening.
Yeah, we're cheating. I'm going to cheat, too.
Fine.
We're all cheating. He did audiobooks.
Yeah. The Adventure Zone.
The Adventure Zone.
Which is it's on the Max Fun Network. It is the McElroy Brothers. They play Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay.
And that's kind of it.
I love those shows.
I am against them. I haven't found one I liked until now. I started it. The first episode I hated, and I was like, I'm done with this forever. And then I started back in on like episode 9, after they did the 5th edition starter campaign, which you briefly played in.
Yes, tried
to ruin for me.
Yes, it did. I'm a bad friend.
But once they got past that, and the guy that runs it started writing his own stories. It's amazing. It's funny, but I care about all these fictional characters.
So it's brought you around on the D&D podcast?
Yeah, at least for these guys. Imagine our thing, I think, our most valuable thing about us is our repertoire, our back and forth.
Gotcha.
Imagine that there was four of us and we were brothers, so we've known each other for like 30 years.
Okay.
The way they riff off each other is incredible.
Well, I'm glad that you found a Let's Play podcast that you finally like. Mm-hmm. At this time, I'd like to shout out to Jeff Stormer. Hey, buddy. Thank you so much for listening.
Do a better job. Can't wait to be on your show again.
Sorry,
Tom. Is different. It's like one-on-one.
That's true.
Right? That's yours, Jeff? I don't remember.
So I've been reading.
I really like Jeff's podcast.
Yeah. What a jerk.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
So I've been reading, listening to Attention Hellmark Choppers. It's very Night Valian.
Okay.
But instead of it being a guy in a radio studio, it's mostly a guy talking over the PA. We're just doing a show.
Yeah.
Go ahead and take a call.
Put it on. If it makes you feel better, it's Jeff Stormer tweeting at me.
He can use the chat if he's watching.
Oh, I already made him upset in real time. Oh, I hate this.
Jeff, if you're watching, you can use the chat. We have it on screen, and I can read it for you.
I don't
want
to talk to him.
But it's Attention Hellmark Choppers. It is a basically an
legitimately bad.
All right, Will's going to get out of here. As Will cries in the corner, greatly upset that he hates Jeff's podcast. Attention Hellmark Choppers. It's funny. I have no words. Jeff has live play D&D podcast, if you haven't figured that out yet, Phil.
I have.
It's called Party of One. I think...
Yeah, it's pretty good, I would say.
Yeah, real good. Should check it out.
I'm going to throw it back to Phil at this point and ask him what he's playing.
I've been playing anything. I'm trying to pick one.
Yeah. Games.
I've been playing lots of Cheese Quest.
Lots of Cheese Quest, I imagine.
Played it yesterday on a live stream. It was very fun.
Very cool.
But I've been playing, other than that, I've been playing a lot of Pathfinder.
Cool.
Which I GM regularly or DM regularly, depending on which area you're from. And
is that a regional thing?
I think it's mostly just when you started playing role-playing games in general. Because for me, it was always Dungeon Master.
Right.
And then eventually it was like Game Master. And then if you ever did like White Wolf, it was Storyteller. So it was like there's all these different terms for the same thing.
Huh.
But I'm a huge dork, so I played all of them.
Yeah.
So I just go back and forth with whatever. So I've been playing a lot of Pathfinder. We do that once a week. And then I've also been playing, as far as video games go, I've been playing League of Legends consistently and regularly.
Who do you main?
Malzahar. I do it mid-main.
Okay.
That term I recognize. Yeah. I know the areas. I don't know any of the 400 characters that are in League of Legends.
There's a lot. And there's like a new one every couple weeks.
Yeah.
So. Skeleton King? Is that League of Legends? Or is that the other one? I don't know the difference between Dota and League of Legends.
It's not League of Legends.
It's very different.
Whatever.
I play
Overwatch. I can only do one.
I've seen Overwatch play it a few times.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it's the same game. It's just it has that same, like, following to
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only one of those types of fandoms you can get
yeah,
into.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I wish, I'm just not good at first-person shooters, so I don't play
I'm not either. I just...
you just go in and die a lot?
I main Junkrat, so he just fires explosions.
Oh, gotcha.
You don't gotta aim.
There you go.
Yeah. You gotta be real good at geometry. So he shoots grenades, they lob.
Okay. So I would be terrible at that, too.
Yeah, probably. I don't know any CrossFit-related Overwatch characters.
Yeah. I mean, anybody who can, like, do a pull-up, a few pull-ups.
That plays or that's in the game?
Either.
Well, no one that plays can
do a pull-up. Probably some of those dudes are pretty ripped. Some of those ladies, too.
Nice. But, yeah. yeah, so that's what I've been playing.
Cool. William?
I didn't playing it this way, but I played a very relevant role-playing game called Mouse Guard last weekend.
Okay.
Have you heard of this?
I have heard of Mouse Guard.
I figured you might have. It's D&D, but you're mice and there's no magic.
Okay. All right. I can get behind this.
Do you know Redwall?
Yeah.
The series?
Is it based on Redwall?
No. Apparently, they came up independently of each other, but it is basically Redwall, the role-playing game.
I am down.
Yeah.
The art is even pretty similar.
Yeah, maybe they, I don't know. Somebody had told me that they were separate of each other.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know the origins, but.
But it seems odd, yeah, that there would be another fantasy mice-based.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a dope game.
Yeah.
You'd like it. It's great.
We might have to get together.
I sat in on a...
I mean, there's so many good games with mice in it.
Yeah, any game with mice is a dope game.
It's amazing.
And worth kickstarting.
Yes. Exactly.
I sat in as an NPC. I talked to the GM beforehand, and she's like, "Do you want to be a good guy or bad guy?" I was like, "Well, I've only based off of wrestling, I wouldn't know what to do as a good guy and bad guy is awesome." So I did that. I was a cultist. She gave me goals. She gave me like what my religion was, and then she's like, "You fill in the rest." I decided to be an absolute sociopath, and I think I destroyed this group's vision of morality and humanity.
Nice.
Because I just did this. Nerds that play role-playing games, or any nerds really, have a very black and white version of morality. Like, there's good, there's evil.
Well, that's what video games have taught us.
Yeah, there's standoff, and then there's Sauron.
You have two paths in life. You either do the really good path or the really bad path.
Would you like to give your wife flowers or stab her?
Yeah. Ooh, which powers do I want?
Can I stab her with flowers?
No. So I made this character that was just the nicest friend. It was like Dexter, if Dexter was evil, like a very friendly, nice man, old man.
Yeah.
That was a horrible monster.
Gotcha.
And so out of character, all the players were like, "We got to kill this guy." And I kept finding ways to meet them individually. And then they would just shocking, like, oh, I'm sorry, I upset you. Is there anything I can do to make up for that? I didn't mean to cause a problem, sir.
So you played the way I usually play.
Yeah. And
where
that,
I just ruined someone's game.
I kept
game.
Thinking that I was pulling a nut. That's what I did. They were just finishing wrapping up a bunch of, like, storylines, like relations with other animals and stuff and building this kingdom. I undid all of their, like, months of work in one night. I'm going to go talk to the squirrels. I'm going to turn them against you. You have an opium problem in your city. Ooh, let's start a lizard cult with these guys. They're down on their luck. They need some hope in their life.
And that was the first 5 minutes?
Yeah, I was like, just...
For context, I played a character in one of Will's games.
Yeah, I'm still mad about that.
And he was a mine owner. I owned, like, a mine we were going through. And it was an NPC, but I kind of jumped in.
You were.
And there was, like, a little bit of distrust already between them. Not a lot, but just a little bit. So when I played the character, after every action I made, I wrote a note and slid it to the DM. And the note, 100% of the time, said, I do exactly what I said I was going to do.
Nice.
But just I was just constantly creating
just that
distrust.
Feeding
that
mistrust, yeah.
And we were greedy, paranoid murder hobos. And then Noah did a very reasonable thing. You were Gundren Rockseeker. I only know that because of Adventure Zone.
Okay.
But he owns this mine. He hired us to clear it out for him, and then we were going to get, like, a reward for it, like heroes should.
Right. Yeah.
We, being the horrible greed monsters we were like, we did all the work. We own this mine now. And Noah was like, no, it's mine.
I have a piece
and then
of paper.
Because Noah was there with morality, the GM was like, yeah, wait a minute. And then we got mad at Noah for ruining our plans of a hostile takeover of an innocent dwarf rightful heritage.
We're awful to play role-playing games with.
Most people are. But that's where the fun is.
Morality's gone.
Yeah.
Murder hobos.
It's the way to go.
Questioning a lot of things. Real quick, I've been playing a game called Unmechanical. Basically, you play this little flying robot helicopter.
It's a misleading title.
And there's a loose story that's like kind of like it's a puzzle platformer kind of game, and you're just trying to figure stuff out. But like there's a beating heart in the background that you kind of deal with. And I was like, I got to look this up. So I looked it up, and the developers were like, make your own story. I was like, no. Answers.
Yeah, hold on.
I need answers. And it reminded me of Portal. Because Portal's my favorite game of all time, and I always say the reason I love Portal so much is you can tell the love that went into it, because the concept alone is good enough to be a game.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The fact that they added the lore and the humor really showed the love for this project. Unmechanical has that kind of same feeling where it's like, the mechanics are really good, this is a really good game. If they had given it that love and really told a story and like had that deep lore, this could have been something extremely special.
Like, just they don't hit you over the head with a story. It's just enough.
Yeah. It's just enough. And like, because I went through the entire game and I finished it and I was like, I don't know what my goal was.
Yeah.
And there was like multiple endings and I was just like, I don't know which one's better.
Right.
All right. Whatever.
So I couldn't play Dark Souls because of that.
Yeah, because the lore is hidden in that.
Well, I walk out of the first level, and I'm like, what do I do now? And there's like a guy that's like, you could go to Death Mountain if you want. I don't care. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm done playing this.
You're probably going to die. Well, then I won't go.
Big challenge for no reason. Well, never mind.
I know it's about the journey, not the destination, but you still need one.
Yeah, there
you still need to
be
a destination. Like, the tanker can still be full of sand at the end. That's fine, but we need a destination.
I got it.
It's time to play a game. It's time for host versus guest versus audience. This week, I left the prize in the crate. What did you bring?
For a prize?
Yes, I got to go get
it. I've been wanting to talk about this hunk of cheese you
I've
got
this
over
cheese
here.
In my pocket for a week.
Oh, and it's been sitting out here all day, too.
It's a little
too.
Warm.
Yeah,
a little,
I bet.
And it's a delicious Swiss.
Oh, those two words don't belong together.
It's my favorite cheese.
Oh, that explains
a lot. I get judged a lot for what cheeses I like.
It's gross.
Swiss?
Yeah.
It's the best.
No.
What?
Mushrooms are not food.
Well, when you put them on a burger, mushrooms and Swiss.
Why are you ruining a burger?
But it's the best burger.
It's gross.
Swiss should not be your favorite cheese. Because
it's the only cheese he allows himself. This is why you're falling apart, dog.
Yeah.
I also like
even your cheese has holes in it.
It's weirdly
mozzarella
soft.
And regatta. Those are my favorite cheeses.
Okay, that's acceptable.
When I was in college, I used to take a spoon of ricotta, dip it in some ragu sauce, and just eat it as a yogurt.
That's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
It's awesome. Delicious.
Yeah. While I was playing, like, Final Fantasy games.
All right.
Yeah, these are all good choices.
Yeah. I'm down for all of that. I got this plaque again. It's a nerdy plaque that's got a bunch of different fonts and a bunch of different nerd sayings that if you understand. I like your explanation of it. If the Big Bang Theory was a sign for your wall, it would be this sign, just screaming nerd stuff at you. So that's what we're putting up. Now, and as always, I've forgotten to do this segment of the show. You played the Nintendo World Championships.
I did.
And we logged your score. You came in with a score of 104,875, and that is good enough to put you in second place.
Wow.
Nice.
Second place. You couldn't catch Vlad, who is at the top of our scoreboard, holding it down for Mother Russia, but second place. Pretty good. Impressive.
And that's not like a joke amount of people. We're at like 7, 8?
We're at 8. We have filled the scoreboard. Yeah. So after by next week, we'll be knocking people off the scoreboard. So it's very exciting. It's very exciting. So you're in number 2.
You went to World 4.
I did.
Even with a little time to dig around.
Yeah, look at that. So now that I've remembered how the show works, we need an audience member to play to host versus guest versus audience, but they need to bring a prize for us to win since we put up these amazing prizes. What'd you guys bring this week? You have
floor
a grab
trash.
Bag.
Floor trash. Floor wait, trash. you get to reach into a purse.
And take a thing.
And take one item. Well, you got to get picked first, which seems likely.
Yeah, I think. considering the fact that the research department is allergic to cheese and does not want to play.
Oh, yeah.
Come on up here.
Yeah, it's like the worst thing ever.
So Katie's up here with her mystery bag of stuff.
What?
There is stuff in that bag, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
It'd be dope if there was nothing.
Do you guys want to know the prize now or later?
Ooh. Do it after?
We'll do it after.
Okay.
All right.
And now if Katie wins, we just don't get to know.
Yeah,
we'll never know.
That'll bug me a lot.
For the rest of your
Phil,
life.
Phil, do not mess this up.
I'll do my best.
One of us needs
to defend that gross cheese.
It's Swiss.
Can I
Yeah,
feel
it started bad and now it's worse.
Ugh,
it's got gross softness.
Is it real cheese?
It's reduced fat Swiss.
Oh,
that's like Halloween store cheese.
Yeah, it's
Halloween store.
Yo, wait, hold up.
Halloween soon.
What Halloween store is selling cheese?
You know when they sell like the rubber
bugs? Do you buy your food from Spirit of Halloween for 2 months?
It would explain some of my health problems. You pick up the rubber spiders and rats and stuff. That's what they feel like.
Yeah,
she
is.
Can only buy food like 2 months a year.
Mostly it's just body part shaped candy.
It doesn't say it has to be refrigerated, so I think we're okay.
Maybe we're like, it's cheese. They got to know, right?
Yeah, they'll know.
It has a mild, mellow, nutty flavor.
No, none of that's true. It tastes like...
It's got marshmallow in it?
It's naturally lactose free. See? Swiss cheese. Lactose free.
What is it made of? I guess Halloween store stuff.
Yeah, who knows?
If you don't buy it November 1st, they just melt it all down into Swiss cheese.
Guys, we're going to play Google Feud.
Oh, we still got the game.
I'm going to give you part of a Google search. I have the top 10 autocompletes for it. I want you to give me one of the top 10 answers that's an autocomplete to the Google search I'm going to give you. You get more points the higher up it is. Everybody will get a chance to answer every question. This is a good way to start. Will, we're going to start with you.
All right.
Can you mail a?
Ooh. Can you mail?
Can you mail a?
A... It's a. I guess a couple of things pop in my head, but none of them really start with A. So I will mail a gun.
Can you mail a gun?
I bet not, but... Yeah.
That's the number one answer, is can you mail a gun?
Yeah.
A lot of people trying to ship guns around, apparently. Very interesting. Phil?
Well, you can't take it on the plane. How are you going to have your gun there?
Yeah, you got to mail it.
When you get there.
You got to mail it to yourself. That makes sense. Phil, can you...
So, same question. Can you mail A?
Can you mail A?
Keep in mind, you will not get the number one answer. I already did.
Bigger gun. Can you mail a bigger gun? Can you mail a body part?
Body part.
This might be more relevant in your life than other
I mean, I'm literally falling apart. Might as well.
If I can get the answer to that as well.
I think because your ligaments are made of gross floppy cheese.
It's not gross. It's Swiss.
No,
it's delicious.
Body part is not on there. Katie.
Oh, darn it.
Dead animal?
Dead animal.
I would have gone regular animal. You guys are dark.
Yeah, maybe a live animal would have done better.
When it shows up, it might be the other case. But
yeah, I mean, it didn't start that way. But you got to feed them.
All right, this is interesting. The top 10 answers are, dead animal is not on there. The top 10 answers are cat, potato. Can you mail a potato? You can, says the research department. Can you mail a human? Can you mail?
I bet not. Yeah.
Can you mail a letter without a name?
Hmm.
Can you mail a cell phone? Can you mail a knife? Can you mail a dog? Can you mail a person? Can you mail a bottle of wine? And then, can you mail a gun? All right, we are going to start with Phil this time.
No, how many points do I have?
You have 10,000 points.
Thank you.
How many points do I have?
You have zero. But this is your opportunity to change it.
I'm not this big a jerk. I've just been doing real bad at the games lately, and it feels good to be back on top.
Phil, the Windy.
What is it?
The Windy.
The Windy?
Yeah.
We're going to go City.
That's a good answer.
Windy City.
And maybe the only answer.
That's the number one answer. That's good for 10,000 points.
Does that get me 10,001 point?
Only 10,000. I'm writing with my left hand, and it's terrible. Katie, the Windy.
Yeah, that was it. That's the only answer.
I don't know what other answers there could be. This comes up randomly. I don't choose these ahead of time. So. The Windy.
The Windy's Baconator. And they just spelled it wrong.
People Googling Baconator may misspell. I'd probably have to misspell Baconator as well, though, for it to show up. What are you thinking, Katie? The Windy.
Tunnel.
There you go.
Windy tunnel.
A wind tunnel is a thing. I don't.
It's not on this list, but it's a good answer.
The Windy building. I don't. There's no.
The Windy go.
The Windy go. That's a good answer.
Hey, can we just do puns on Windy?
What if people think it's like Windy, the Windy Road?
Oh, that was a good answer.
No, it's not.
Top 10 answers.
Are those spelled the same?
The Windy Month.
I don't think Windy is a word.
The Windy Road. The Windy Day, which I bet is people not realizing it's the blustery day for Winnie the Pooh. The Windy Blonde.
I don't know what that means.
The Windy Baby.
Interesting.
The Windy Planet. The Windy Thing.
The Windy Thing.
The Windy City Assassin. And
that's going to be my next one.
And the Windy Apple. I'm guessing that's people that just got it confused.
The Big Apple.
Oh, that's what I'm calling it from now on.
Windy Apple. All right, so that's 10,000 points for Will, 10,000 points for Phil, no points for Katie. Katie, we're going to start with you this time.
Oh, boy.
And it's I love my... I love my.
It shouldn't be taking me this long. Mom.
Mom, I love my mom.
Oh, now your other family members are upset.
Immediately. They're all watching right now.
That is the number.
They're all at Jeff Stormer's house.
Really?
That's the number five answer.
Oh, boy.
So that's good for 6,000 points. Will?
Ooh, I love my dog. Come on, Internet.
Dog.
Also, I'd probably love my dog best out of everybody. So
not in there.
Is your dog
my
watching?
Dog? What?
Will's dog is not on the list.
Yeah, well, I play all my podcasts for him when I'm not there.
Phil,
I'd like to know why people are Googling "I love my mom."
I don't know.
Yeah,
like, do they need that confirmation?
Like, yes, like, you do.
Yes, you do. Yes, confirmed. My answer
Google
will be,
Google on the wall.
I love my job.
Love my job.
In this economy?
That is not on there.
Oh.
It goes,
cat.
I love my best friend.
Hmm.
I love my girlfriend. I love my daughter. I love my family. I love my boyfriend. I love my mom. I love my sister. I love my wife. I love my pillow.
Okay.
That's and nice. I love my husband, number one answer.
Yeah, take that, dads.
We got to do one more round because we're tied, 10,000, 10,000, 6,000.
Yeah, the last one's not a tie, though. You're losing.
I'm glad I got one, and I'm glad I'm not going to win.
Hey, I mean, you still have a chance. You still have a chance.
Yeah, you're on the board and not getting gross cheese.
Yeah, who
cheese
knows?
You're in the best position right now.
Yeah. Will, it's very simple. Right. Walter.
Walter?
Walter.
White.
White.
I was going to say Disney because it was funny, and then I was like, nah, real answer.
It's the number two answer.
Oh.
That puts you at 19,000.
Oh, boy.
Phil, pressure's on. You can still win this.
Say Walter Disney.
No, I'm going to go with Whitman.
Walter Whitman?
Yeah.
All right.
Why not?
If you don't want to win, that's a good answer.
Walter Whitman.
I'm being a real jerk tonight. I don't know why.
It is not on there.
Dang it.
Katie?
Cronkite?
That's a good answer.
That's a good answer.
I'm going to spell it wrong.
Yeah,
so.
just see what's on there. Now, he can just see what
it is. The number three answer. Oh, good. 8,000 points.
That's not going to be enough.
Well, that puts her in, is she in second place?
With 14,000. Nice. Walter Williams, Walter Payton Award winners.
I don't know what that
Walter
is.
Football, Walter Mondale, Walter Keene, Walter Scott, Walter Payton Award, Walter Cronkite, Walter White, and Walter Payton is the number one answer.
I don't know.
I'm realizing I don't know very many Walters.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have went with Whitman. Or Walter Disney. I was all
about
Walter it.
Walter Disney.
But that means with 19,000 points, Will is our winner.
King of cheese. King of don't
yeah.
put it near me.
Reach your hand in that bag. Reach your hand in that bag.
Oh, that was just full of cheese.
That would be amazing. Cheddar.
Whatever feels the most interesting.
That.
Pick something good.
It's a gift card.
It's a $50 gift card.
For a hotel.
You can pay parking fees. Yay.
Remember, we were confused by this concept earlier.
Yeah, you have to activate it.
Thank you so much for coming up here. Phil, we got to get out of here. Anything you want to plug?
Cheese Quest, Quest for Cheese.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's a good thing.
Kickstarter now ends in 6 days. Backing it. Awesome. Really appreciate it. That's all.
Nice.
That's all. You don't have a webcomic?
Oh, I also have a webcomic, P&J Comic, coming back this winter, but there's a lot of comics up there. It's PNJComicOnline.com.
Twitter?
Twitter is just Phil Schad. At Phil Schad.
All right, it's spelled really weird.
Yeah,
so good luck, Internet.
S C H A D T.
All right. Will, anything to add?
Mm-hmm. Pineapples are the combination of the words pine and apple, and Hawaii produces 1/3 of all the pineapples in the world. And this has been two quick facts about pineapples.
Awesome. Thank you. Be sure to give us 5 stars on iTunes, 5 stars on Stitcher. Vote for us on PodcastLine.com. Make us the podcast of the month. Like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube. Follow us on Twitch now and watch us live every Thursday at 8 p.m.-ish. Upcoming shows include, on the 12th, stand-up comedian Jeffrey Michael will appear on the show. Someone else that Will was mean to. on the 19th. We have the creators of Comicverse, which is a comic book about a podcast.
Well, they sound nice.
Yes. And then on
did I do anything?
No, not yet.
So I mean to him in high school?
Give it time.
And on the 26th, John Deary, the host of Makeup or Breakup,
will
be here.
I killed his mom.
Oh, no. And as always, we would like to thank Ben Affleck for making the show possible, keeping the streets of Gotham City safe.
In shape.
And in shape. CrossFit. Mm-hmm. Apologies to Jeffrey Michael.
Nah, screw this that. Apologies to Jeff Stormer.
To Jeff Stormer. This is the Plus Two Comedy Podcast. Thank you guys so much.